Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Beginning with verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now you note the frequency of the word Hallelujah. This is the Hallelujah chorus of the New Testament. In fact, it's the only place in the New Testament that you find the word Hallelujah. Now, the word is found, it's a Hebrew word, it is found in the Psalms quite frequently. In fact, there are groups of Psalms that may very well be designated the Hallelujah Psalms because they begin and end with Hallelujah. This is the transliteration of that Hebrew word. And because of this, and because this is a heavenly scene, I read of one person who concluded from this that Hebrew was the original language and the heavenly language. Now, I know that the Old Testament department would like that statement, but knowing from whom it came from Peter Ruckman. But they may answer to me why God is able to speak truth even from the mouth of a dumb brute. But still, it is a Hebrew word, Hallelujah. In fact, there are two words here that are basically Hebrew words, the word Amen and Hallelujah. They actually have become universal terms. Not knowing the language of any other nation, if people are Christians, there's one sense that in which we can communicate with one another just with these two words, Amen, Hallelujah. And I just recommend to you and to the churches to whom I preach that they learn these two words, Amen, Hallelujah. Of course, you know that Hallelujah, I think you know Hallelujah means, is translated in the King James translation as Praise Ye the Lord. Praise Ye the Lord. And in this particular setting, you have that great heavenly Hallelujah chorus in which the book of Revelation almost ends, but not quite. And I think that this Hallelujah chorus must be understood against the background of chapter 17 and 18. Indeed, it needs to be understood in the whole background of the book of Revelation. I think a statement in Revelation chapter 6 is necessary in order for us to understand completely why there is this outburst of hallelujahs at this particular point. In Revelation chapter 6, under the fifth seal, you find the martyrdom of God's people. In verse 9, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long, O Lord? How many times has that question been asked of God's people? How long, O Lord? You see, in biblical Revelation, there are two cities representing two kingdoms. There's the city of Jerusalem that represents the kingdom of our God. And there's the city of Babylon that represents the kingdoms of this world in one sense, in their corporate sense, make up one kingdom. In the book of Revelation, we find how the city of Jerusalem triumphs over the city of Babylon. Babylon is fallen, and Jerusalem comes descending from God out of heaven. The triumph of God, the sovereignty of God demonstrated. Now, as I look at this Hallelujah chorus, I find three reasons why this heavenly group breaks out in Hallelujah. Number one, they break out in Hallelujah, singing Hallelujah, because the righteousness of God is finally demonstrated. Note that statement in verse 2. For true and righteous. Now you see there's a statement of Hallelujah in verse 1. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore. I think that statement needs to be understood in the light of the fact that there are times when one is led to question the truth and the righteousness of God. Now, we know what the Bible teaches us about God. Even in this acclamation in chapter 6, these saints had already experienced martyrdom, and they were aware of the martyrdom that was to come on the part of fellow saints. They made the affirmation that God was true, is true, and righteous. But as you observe how things go in the world, one may come to question both the truth and the righteousness of God. For example, when the saints of God are martyred, where is God's righteousness when James was pierced through with the sword? Where is God's righteousness when the saints of God were thrown to the lions and they had their heads cut off by swords and received untold and unbelievable persecution, which is still going on today? Where is the truth of God and where is the righteousness of God when Babylon seems to be in the ascendancy and has the upper hand? And then there are things that happen in your personal lives that you wonder about the truth and the righteousness of God. But I tell you, one of these days when the final chapter has been fulfilled, we will all say Hallelujah! For God is righteous and God is true, when God's righteousness and truth have been vindicated and demonstrated through the judgment of Babylon. But not only do you have an acclamation of Hallelujah here because of the righteousness of God vindicated, but you have a Hallelujah chorus breaking out because of the sovereignty of God demonstrated. Now, on down in this passage, you find this statement in verse 6. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now we know that God reigns even now. God has always reigned. God is the sovereign. But again, I would remind you that as you view Revelation and as you view things that go on in the world, it doesn't always appear that God is in control of things. God's sovereignty is not always manifested clearly. Babylon is in the ascendancy now. This is a time when the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves up against the anointed and against the Lord and against his anointed and saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away his cords from us. That's the day in which we live now, when Babylon has the ascendancy, and it doesn't appear that the sovereignty of God is being manifested, at least universally. Thank God there are those breakthroughs of God's sovereignty now. We have seen it here at the seminary. Yes, we went through a time when the heathen raged and the people imagined a vain thing and the kings of the earth set themselves up against us when we sought accreditation. And you know, just looking at it, though we still wanted to affirm a faith in the sovereignty of God when our president had to come after that trip in Dallas announced to us that our accreditation had been denied. And then appeal was made. And the council met in March. And all odds were against us. It had never been done before in the 75-year history of this accrediting association. But on May 7th, 1982, after a phone call, and our president came out of that business office with his hands raised and said, "Glory! We knew that the sovereignty of God had broken through and that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." But one of these days, universally, that acclamation will be made. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Babylon is fallen, and Jerusalem comes descending from heaven. There's a hallelujah. Thirdly, because of the demonstration and vindication and the presentation of the bride of Christ. In that final hallelujah, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, time will not permit me to give you my identification of the bride and the guest. I'll just tell you that I'm a part of it. And I fully expect to be there at that presentation and be a part of the one who is presented to our bridegroom, our husband. But again, let me say to you, it seems to me that this hallelujah bursting forth at this point also must be understood in the light of the history of Revelation, when the bride has not always had this kind of display. The bride has not always had this kind of position. The Apostle Paul made this statement about the apostles, which I think in a general way can be made about the bride. When he talked about the apostles being the offscouring of the earth, the scum, if you please, the despised, the rejected. And as you look at the history of Revelation, you'll find that the bride of our Lord, who is in his heart, who is the object of his love, is and has been the despised one by Babylon. The only time that the church has ever been in any kind of esteem in the eyes of the world is when the church has become, and I don't really like to call it the church, but the apostate one in compromise with the world. But those true believers of God down through the centuries have been the despised one. It doesn't make any difference how grand and glorious is the work of God in the church. Here our neighbor Bellevue, a mighty church, a church with great numbers. But I want you to know that the secular press and the world still looks upon them as a despicable group of people. And that's our plight. That has been our plight. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just making an observation. But that's not always going to be our position, because one of these days, the bride will be on display and we'll sing hallelujah. Now, no wonder we'll be saying hallelujah frequently in heaven. I suggest that you learn to say it now. You see, it's pronounced about the same way in all languages. Hallelujah, Hebrew, hallelujah, Greek, hallelujah, English. I don't know what accent the Spanish would put on it, the Germans would put on it. Some may say hallelujah, others may say hallelujah. If you're northeastern Arkansas, you may say hallelujah, but it means the same thing. Praise ye the Lord, because he is righteous and true. His omnipotence will be displayed universally, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be on display, and it will be revealed to the universe what's in the heart of our Lord toward his bride.